about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our in-studio guest is Dr. Alex McFarland, and we'll be introducing him further in just a few minutes, but we invite you to look with us in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Again, Isaiah 55, starting at verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the earth, all trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Father, Lord, we do thank you for the wonderful, empowering power of your word, and thank you for the ways that your word empowers us, it strengthens us, it guides us, it molds us, it shapes us, it encourages us, it teaches us, and does so, so much more. Lord, help us to grow today and every day in our understanding of the vital place your word needs to play in the life of every disciple in the whole wide world. More and more, help us to come to love your word more and more and to be committed to reading, meditating on it, speaking it, standing on it, and allowing it to shape us to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us not only to be faithful, but Lord, help us to be wise as parents, to teach and train our children and our grandchildren to come to love the word of God and to make it a vital part of their lives as well. What a privilege, what a gift, what a blessing it is to be able to open your word every day and hear from heaven and receive the blessing, the grace, the strength that comes from spending time with you one-on-one with your word. We thank you, and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have with us for a few minutes Dr. Alex McFarland. Alex, good to see you again, Alex. Always good to have you.
It's great to see you, my friend.
Okay, and Alex is he's an evangelist. He teaches apologetics, and for those of you that don't know, apologetics is someone who says sorry very skillfully and with great diction, right?
Not exactly.
Explain to our listeners what an apologist is.
Well, an apologist is one who defends the faith.
That's right.
Apologetics is defending the faith, explaining why we believe what we believe. And I think nowadays, you know, there are a lot of people that don't know the Lord, and we're called to go out there and tell them about Christ, and sometimes they have questions. Well, how do you know God exists? Or what? The Bible is 2,000 years old. How could it still be relevant? Mm-hmm. So apologetics is doing what the Word of God says in like 1 Peter 3:15, mm-hmm. being ready to give an answer for those who ask a reason for the hope we have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. And you're, again, an evangelist, an apologist. No, that's not the right word. Say it again.
Apologist,
okay.
But, you know, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, and I teach at a couple of different schools, and I I tell people I have to do a few things to support my preaching habit, you know.
Okay.
But I ask your listeners to pray. I'm on my way from here. I'm at American Family Radio with you and everybody, but I'm going to Colorado. So I leave here and I fly to Denver, Colorado, and I'll be all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, speaking in a youth rally. And I'm told there's going to be a lot of unsaved teenagers, so I do appreciate everybody's prayers as I share the gospel.
Okay. Okay, then. And, of course, also you're one of the co-hosts along with Brother Bert Harper with the program Exploring the Word on one of the AFR networks as well.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Joseph, I want to tell you something. I came to Christ when I was 21 years old, and somehow or another the Lord put within me, just from the get-go, this thirst for the Bible. I had a very godly grandmother that helped raise me, and you know what? She had diabetes really bad, and she lost her vision. And so she would ask me to read to her, and she would say, read Isaiah 55 that you read. I love that, Isaiah 55, 1 through 7. It says, why do you labor for that which is not bread? Come to the waters, you know. And my grandmother would say, read me that John chapter 3, and turn over there if you would, and read me Isaiah 118 that says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. See, she was setting me up. I was reading to my grandmother because she was blind, but I was getting saturated with Scripture. So when I did find Jesus, I've just fallen in love with His Word ever since.
That's good. You know, and you were your grandmother's audio Bible. And so she just had you read
That's
when
right.
she wanted to hear. And that was such a blessing to him, blessing to her, and obviously a blessing to you too.
And but you know what? If there's one prayer I had for the church in our nation, it would be that we would really love, read, believe, and follow the authority of God's Word. You know, I love Psalm 119, and you and I have talked about this, but one of my favorite verses is Psalm 119, verse 93. It says, I will never forget your words, for through them I found life. Isn't that beautiful?
That's powerful. That's powerful.
The Word of God points the child of God to the Son of God.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, Alex, for the few minutes you're with us, you know, today we want to look and focus on the topic you've kind of started us off on, the empowering Word of God. And, you know, it's so critical for us as believers to recognize the need for the building block of being a student of God's Word. Would you share your heart about further about why the Word of God is so important to us as disciples?
Oh, great question. Well, you know, when Christ was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by the devil, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I just don't think you could really be a vibrant, strong, victorious Christian if you're anemic from lack of Bible study. I mean, it really is food for the soul. You know, the athlete has got to have good nutrition or he can't run the race. And the Word of God, the Bible, is more than just ink on paper. I mean, it is alive. I believe it with all my heart. I think that the truths of God's Word are as immutable as the law of gravity. John 10, verse 35, Jesus said, the Scripture cannot be broken. Isn't that something?
Amen. That's
and
powerful.
Well, it is, you know. And so it's in the Word of God. You know, Romans 3:23 says that we've sinned, all have sinned. Psalm 119, verse 76 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And so let me just say a word. Sometimes people say, well, Alex, it's hard to understand the Bible. Well, pray this, because I believe with all my heart that God wants his child to understand the Word. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, open my eyes, Lord, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. So you might want to approach the Bible and pray, and Lord, open my eyes. 1 John 2:27, the Spirit that abides in you remains and will teach you all things. Isn't that cool?
That is. And you know, the Scripture that you just mentioned, too, that is a good prayer to pray every time you sit down to read and meditate on the Word, because you know, no one can open it up like God can.
Yeah, and the Holy Spirit of God was the author, God mm-hmm. gave, I believe this, God gave those words. Well, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, too, Alex, one of the things I think is so good is that it's important for, I believe, leaders like pastors and Sunday school teachers and missionaries, people that are leaders in the body of Christ, but really any believer, that we recognize that one of the building blocks of discipleship is teaching someone that they must be a student of the Word of God and have that discipline of reading every day. And what is tragic is, I think I've seen how that in many circles, sometimes you have, for example, a pastor that is a very gifted preacher, expounder on the Word of God. He's very good at what he does. But if he doesn't teach and train his people to read for themselves, even if they get a great meal every Sunday morning, they'll be starved by next Sunday.
That's right.
Because they have to learn to feed themselves.
That is a fantastic point, my brother. I mean, if you ate one meal a week, you'd be dragging your feet.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Big time.
And, you know, there's an old saying that the Word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word of God. Hmm. I don't know about you, but every day is a journey with Christ. And, you know, there's the Bible warns about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Mm-hmm. Well, if we're going to withstand the temptations, sin, withstanding against sin, but just discouragement and fatigue.
That's right.
The Word of God is the strength for the child on this journey. And so in Matthew 24:35, Christ said, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away."
That's
and
right.
So we read his word. I know I quote a lot of Bible verses, but I mean,
please do.
I'm passionate about this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really am. And you know what? Psalm 119, again, I've mentioned that. Verse 100 says, "I understand more than the ancients because your word instructs me." Mm-hmm. I really believe you are not an educated person. I mean, you can't really live as a wise person. If you don't have the Word of God to be your instruction.
That's right.
You know, I've met people without any formal education, but they were wise because they had fed on the Word of God.
Right.
Now, conversely, I've met PhDs that were like, you know, as they would say, as lost as a goose in a snowstorm because they didn't have God's Word as their foundation.
Which is the foundation of all knowledge and all real education, too.
Proverbs 1:7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Beginning of wisdom.
And I'll just say this. There's information, and then there's truth, you know? And there's knowledge, and then there's wisdom. You know, that we talk about the information superhighway, the internet. There's a whole lot of data out there, but God's word is truth.
That's right. Alex, before our time runs out and before you have to leave, would you say a word of prayer for our listeners to really grow in their knowledge of the need to become rooted in God's Word in their lives?
Amen. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us.
Jesus.
Thank you that you sent your Son to be our Savior. Thank you for
Lord,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you for the empty tomb and all that we have in Christ. And yes, Lord, we thank you for the
Jesus.
Bible. Thank you that you gave us your word in written form.
Thank you,
we can read
Lord
the Bible.
Jesus.
And when we read the Bible, we're reading the words of God.
You,
and when
Jesus.
We ingest those precious truths, we're hearing the mind of God and the heart of God. So, Lord, I pray for the Spirit right now to move across this land, wherever people are listening, all throughout this land, that you would send a revival of zeal for the Scripture.
Thank you.
Because they testify of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex, for being with us today.
Thank you, my brother. Love you, man.
God bless you. Love you, too. Be blessed.
Hope to come back.
All right. Thanks for listening to The Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
One of the first steps to becoming a Christian is recognizing our sinful nature. What makes this so difficult is that we have selective vision when it comes to our own issues. It's easy for me to see your faults, but when it comes to seeing my own, then my eyesight automatically gets bad. One surefire way to measure new birth in Christ is by opened eyes and a clear vision. Sometimes we can pass between having sight and having no sight because we have fallen asleep to the needs around us, or our perspective on those things that are eternal is distorted. Whatever the case, there is nothing more dangerous than having blurred vision and still thinking that it's clear. Don't measure your vision by your own standards. It will be warped and distorted every time, but rather measure it by God's standards. God desires that our eyesight remains clear. So how is your eyesight today? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Are you aware many men struggle in the aftermath of abortion? According to research, 8% of men are seriously damaged emotionally. This means nearly 5 million men are walking wounded, with millions more affected to lesser degrees. We have a website to help these hurting fathers. MenAndAbortion.net can refer a man to free peer-to-peer counselors anywhere in the nation. There are videos and books, healing Bible studies, research, and more. Men need to know they're not alone and there's help for them. MenAndAbortion.net is the place for them to begin their journey back to wholeness. Please pray more hurting fathers of aborted babies will reach out and connect with the help they need. Once again, the address is MenAndAbortion.net.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night, for he is like a tree. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of.
The music of Cam, the song simply entitled Psalm 1. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. And we're going to take time to share that psalm briefly here. Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All of Psalm 1. Also in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now to every single listener, to every person listening today, I want to remind you of this, and I want to encourage you to make it an important goal for your life, but also for those whose lives you touch as well. Be zealous for the word of God every single day. Remember this. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Let me say to every single listener, God's word is much more important to you than you think or realize. In fact, it's the word of God that actually sustains your life from one day to the next. So for someone, when you hear the words of Jesus when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, remember this, Jesus really meant that. It's not just a nice thing to read the Bible. God's word is critical to all of life. And so as believers, we're wise to be very, very dedicated to spending time in the word of God every day. And not only doing it ourselves, but we teach and train our children to do the same thing and our grandchildren. And we teach and train and encourage those around us to be faithful students of God's word as well. Why? Because you really do need the word of God for many, many, many reasons. When you have time, go back and read Isaiah chapter 55 again, the chapter that we read at the beginning. It's a powerful, powerful chapter, but it reminds us of the fact that, amongst other things, God's word doesn't return void. God's word accomplishes powerful things every day, especially in the lives of those who put it to work. But at the same time, remember, Jesus and the word of God are one. Your life is sustained moment by moment by the word of God. But the more you put the word of God in your heart and your mind, the more you stay locked into God and in close fellowship with God as well. We need to stay close to God. And the fact is, it does not happen by itself. For people that sit up and watch TV all day long or get on the internet and look up useless information that may not really help them, but that they're just curious about, those things don't edify you. They don't draw you closer. But on the other hand, the things that draw you closer to God help you to listen to hear from God better. The word of God is one of the most valuable tools and weapons and instruments to help you stay in close fellowship with God. So again, I regularly like to encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every day. Now, again, if you say, well, why do you say that all the time, reading 3 chapters? Well, that's a good basic spiritual meal. And again, of all the truths in the life of any believer in all my years as a pastor, one of the saddest things is you have believers that have never been taught and trained the spiritual discipline, the spiritual habit of reading God's word every day. If you don't have an ongoing diet of the word of God, the fact is you'll be to use the term that Alex used in the earlier segment, he used the word anemic. You'll be spiritually anemic. You'll never be strong and vibrant in the Lord without the word of God. So you need a working knowledge of God's word, but you need to be continually consuming it because of the spiritual strength and vitality that comes from being a student of God's word. God's word does so, so many things for all of us, and it continues to empower us to be the kind of disciples we need to be. Let me just ask a few questions too. Do you need guidance today? Spend time reading the word of God. Are you discouraged? Do you feel down? Do you know God's word is the best cure to give you encouragement and strength? Do you need more wisdom? The Bible is a book full of wisdom. Are you dealing with depression? You know, nowadays a lot of people deal with depression. Do you know enough of God's word can pull anybody out of any form of depression? Why? Because it's the power of God, and the word of God is the resurrection power of God. So enough word And of course, with some people, they may need more word than others. But enough of the power of the Word of God can pull anyone out of any form of depression, because God's Word is that powerful. Do you need counsel today? The best source of counsel in the world is the Word of God. Are you in need of knowledge? The Bible is the book of original knowledge. It's the book of knowledge. It's the foundation of all knowledge. The Bible lets us know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if you need knowledge, go to the Word of God. Do you need inspiration today? No book in all of the world is more inspiring and empowering than the Word of God. Do you need strength? God's Word is a source of strength, spiritual, mental, and physical strength as well. Do you feel afraid today? Are you fearful? Do you know God's Word is the cure for fear? Enough of the Word of God empowers you. In fact, the Word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you need more faith today? Spend more time in the Word of God. And remember this, it's important that you understand this. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. What is the source of all faith? The Word of God. And so being full of the Word of God is so important to each and every one of us. Do you need to be reminded of how good God is to you? Now, the reality is the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, being thankful, and, you know, of course, we look forward to coming up to the holiday that we refer to as Thanksgiving. But you know what? If you learn the discipline of giving thanks and praise to God on a consistent basis, that is such a valuable, valuable, valuable habit. Why? Because when you genuinely give thanks and praise to God, it changes everything. In fact, one of the reasons being, life is a gift from God. Everything we have is a gift from God. And when we learn to habitually and continually thank and praise Him, God never gets tired of your thanks and praise. He never gets tired of it. Now, if God can get tired, I think He gets tired of complaining real fast. He doesn't like to hear complaining. And keep in mind, thanksgiving and praise and complaining are two opposite habits, but neither one of them is neutral. Thanksgiving and praise draws you closer to God. It edifies you. It stirs you up. It empowers you. In fact, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So giving thanks and praise blesses your life all over the place. In fact, a genuinely grateful person becomes instantly rich because you recognize life is a gift and God runs our cup over in so many ways. On the other hand, if you complain a lot, if you're a complainer, the fact is life becomes harder and more difficult for you. And if you're a complainer, you make life harder and more difficult for those around you as well. Why? Because complaining is not a neutral activity either. Complaining is a form of cursing. Anything you complain about, you're cursing that thing. Now, if you say, well, I don't believe that, well, I'm sorry you don't, because it's true. Complaining is not good. In fact, the Old Testament word for it was murmuring. Complaining never helps a situation. It makes a bad situation worse. So thanksgiving and praise is one activity that will bless your life. Complaining is another activity that will curse your life. You don't want to be a habitual complainer. You want to be a habitual person that gives habitual thanks and praise to God. And it's the Word of God that teaches and encourages and stirs you to be a person of thanksgiving and praise. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter to His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Again, Psalm 1 is a good psalm. You should memorize it and say it many times in the course of a day because, well, if you ask the question, why? Because Psalm 100 will stir your joy. And remember, joy is not just a nice luxury. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible commands us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Why? God wants you to be vibrant in the power of His Spirit on an ongoing basis. How do you do that? Live a life full of thanksgiving and praise. Take time to thank God for big things and little things habitually throughout the day. It'll stir your joy, and it'll help you to be a happier and more fulfilled person. Because remember, life is a gift. Now, people talk about, well, I deserve this, or I earned this. Keep in mind, if the truth be told, the only thing we deserve as human beings is we deserve hell because we've sinned against a holy God. But, you know, God in his grace has so abundantly provided not only a means of salvation, but he pours out blessings upon us all day long. You know, you and I couldn't afford one single breath that we breathe, and God gives us thousands and thousands of breaths every single day. Life and strength and health and the ability to eat, drink, the ability to see, to feel, to hear, to touch, to taste, all of these are gifts from God. So it's the Word of God that points out so many truths that will bless our lives as we put them to use in our lives. Be a student of the Word of God. Also remember, if you need wisdom and guidance for your children, to guide and direct your children, the Bible is a source of wisdom for every parent. If you go to the book of Proverbs, and notice how many of the Proverbs begin with the words, my son, or hear my children, or something along that line. A parent that took time to talk to their children about life. Every parent should use the book of Proverbs and use the Word of God as a whole to do the very same thing. We've got to disciple our children. We're to do all we can to lead them to Christ and do all we can to teach and train them to read God's Word every day so that they too can reap the great blessing, the tremendous blessing, the overwhelming blessings of being full of God's Word. Again, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. We're looking today at the topic of the empowering Word of God. And by the end of the broadcast, I want you to be convinced that one of, if not the most important habit in your life every day, is spending time reading and meditating on God's Word. Now, keep in mind, some may say, well, what's more important, prayer or reading the Bible? Well, again, that's kind of like saying, what's more important, inhaling or exhaling? You need to do both. You need to be a student of the Word of God, and you need to pray. In fact, reading God's Word is a form of prayer. It's a form of walking in close fellowship relationship with God. And so when you read the Word of God, it's a form of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is talking and listening to God. So when you're reading the Word of God, God is primarily talking to you. But yes, reading the Word of God is a form of prayer, a form of interacting and talking and conversing with your Heavenly Father. So let's all be diligent students of God's Word. Again, if you're not reading 3 chapters a day, today is a good day to start that very, very important habit. I would encourage you to do that. Do you need to find purpose in life today? God's Word is a book of purpose. In fact, God's Word instills our purpose in us. Our purpose is to know Jesus and to follow him one day at a time. And the Word of God teaches you and points you back to that truth over and over and over again. So are you needing to find out what your individual calling is? The more you spend time in the Word of God, the more, amongst other things, not only does God speak to you through the Word, but also reading the Word of God turns the volume of the Holy Spirit's voice up louder and louder and louder in your life. And so understand this, the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us every day. Now, if you say, well, no, he doesn't speak to me. Well, that's not true. He does speak to you. I don't need to know your name and know where you are to know that. He talks to all of us every day, but often we do not recognize his voice. Sometimes we think of it as a passing thought, and sometimes we think of it as just an impression, but the Holy Spirit speaks to every one of us every single day. Lord, thank you for the fact that you do speak to us by your Word and your Spirit every day. Help us more and more with every passing day to grow in our love for your Word and our commitment to reading and meditating on it and our commitment to teach and train our children to do the same thing. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking today about the empowering Word of God. We'll be right back after this break.
Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s. Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
Family is an institution set forth by God, one man and one woman for life, with the outflow being children produced by that union. It's obvious to all that there is an attack on the family in our country, and especially on fathers. Whether it's the cycle of sin that persists in our families or the pressure from our government to exclude men from being intimately involved, the strategic battle is on for the souls of men. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood, UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says before our nation can turn to God, the church needs to turn back to God. So why isn't that happening? We'll hear about one important reason today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You see, the reason why the church is so anemic, generally speaking, is that we do not have sufficient amount of Christians who've submitted themselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Far too many Christians are like drivers who have spare tires in the back. Everybody here has a spare tire in the back. It's there in case of emergencies. If one of your tires goes flat, it's there. You keep it close enough just in case, but you don't spend much time thinking about it because you don't need it yet. But when a tire goes flat, then all of a sudden the spare becomes very important. You don't want to be stuck out on a dark road with a flat tire, so let's keep a spare in case. A lot of us have spare God in the trunk of our lives so that when life goes flat, I have somebody to go to, but as long as life is not flat, it's nice he's there. It's just not necessary.
Find out why the only real answers to America's problems need to come from the church. It's all spelled out in Dr. Evans' book called America, an in-depth look at the Bible's strategy for changing our country's direction, restoring its spiritual health, and protecting its future. Get details online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
To those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know him. We've been mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing for Jesus after all he's done just for me. And I tell you that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And oh, I'm not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give you my life. See,
music of Brenda Lowe singing, We Are Not Ashamed of the Gospel. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of the empowering Word of God. And you know, keep in mind, in every season in your life, every season of your life, it's important that you're a student of the Word of God. Because remember, God's Word is many things to us, but amongst other things, it's an anchor that keeps us in the right place, and it's a guide that keeps us on track. We live in a world where it's so easy to get off track and to get our priorities messed up and going in wrong directions in the flesh. On the other hand, the Word of God helps us know what's right, what's wrong, what's a priority, and what's not a priority. Let me give you a great example of where people can easily get off track. We live in a culture that worships entertainment to a fault. Now you might say, well, why do you think that? Well, because it's easy to see that entertainment is a high priority for so many in our culture, because some of the highest paid people in our culture are entertainers. Movie stars, TV stars, athletes, coaches make some of the highest salaries, and it's not even their fault. Why do they make so much money? Because people pay a lot of money to be entertained. And for many people, they live to be entertained. Well, keep in mind, entertainment has a place in our lives, but actually it's a very small place. As human beings, we like to watch drama unfold before us. But you know, we need to understand this. You and I need to invest in the drama of our own lives. And one of the best ways whereby we do that is by run after God. Because God can take the drama of your life and make it a great, great, wonderful masterpiece of a story rather than a tragedy. But you have so many people who live lives that end up being tragedies, lives to cry over. Why? Because they messed up so badly and done so many tragic things. Remember, money is not the answer to life. Jesus is. There are lots of people that are sadly entertainers who made lots of money, but their lives ended so tragically. How many entertainers can we think of who died lives where they died of an overdose, had lots of money, lots of what the world considered so important, but they invested in wrong things and ended up dying at their own hands by drug overdoses or things like that. Remember this. Remember Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word will teach you what's important, what's not important, what honors God, what doesn't honor God. In all of life, if you want your priorities to be straight, look to the word of God. Look to the guidance and the wisdom of God's word. That's what will help you stay on track. You take, for example, the election that just took place. You see lots of deception out in the world, but you know, we don't have to be deceived. We don't have to be misguided. If you look to the word of God, it'll help you know what honors God, what doesn't honor God. Now, obviously, we know we were in a situation where lots of people said they didn't care for either candidate. But what you do is you look to the word of God and find out which candidate most closely lines up with the word of God. Now, why would we do that? Because the word of God is your standard. The word of God is the guidebook for life to help you know what's important, what's not important, what honors God, what doesn't honor God. One candidate believed that it was okay, that it was very much okay to kill babies. The other candidate wanted to help end the killing of babies. Now that right there is huge in the heart of God, because the word of God, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. In other words, you shall not take innocent life. Now that factor all by itself should have been a huge issue in the heart and the life of every person that said, I'm a Christian. But sadly, lots of people that consider themselves good, strong Christians ignored that. How tragic. Because remember, God's word will help you know what to do and what not to do. Now, not that that was the only issue, but it was a huge issue based on the word of God. But also you look at other issues as it relates to what the word of God says about relationships and sexuality. The word of God says God made us male and female. Well, the fact is when you have candidates that support tragic sins like homosexuality and other deviations from the word of God. Remember, all sin is sin. But when a person not only supports sin, but celebrates sin, that's bad. That's bad. Now, my point is this. God's word will help you know what to do. God's word doesn't leave you in the dark where you think, I don't know what to do. You don't, as a believer, we don't ever have to say, I have no idea what to do. Because we have the word of God and the spirit of God to guide us. So as believers, we're really never in the dark because the word of God is our light. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So staying in the word of God helps you stay out of the dark. It helps you stay out of a place where you have no idea what to do or you're hopeless or just without direction. Because remember, God's word is direction for us. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Jesus is our vision. The word of God is our vision. So as long as we stay in the word of God, we don't have to worry about being without direction, without guidance, without insight, without understanding. So let's be people that are guided by the word of God. Now, I want to remind you this too, that not only is it important that we're students of the word of God, remember this, we're to read the Bible to apply it. it's Bible is a book full of truth, but truth is always meant to be applied. Now, the fact is, if you read the Bible all the time, but you don't ever live it, that's tragic. That's a great, great, great tragedy. The Bible is a guidebook for life. You can read all day long, but if you don't pay attention to the Word of God, you're going to be left out in the dark in life. God's Word is meant to be lived day by day. Again, the Word of God teaches us how to be godly men and godly women. It teaches how to be good husbands, good wives, good fathers, good mothers. Now, again, I'm not picking on anyone, but on the other hand, I'm picking on everybody. Because the fact is, all of us, if we're honest, we can find places in our lives where we're really not applying things we know we've read. We know we've read them, but we're not applying. You and I need to decide, I'm going to get serious about this. I'm just going to pick out a few examples before our time comes to an end. But just like, for example, going back once again, in the Word of God, in the book of Genesis, it tells the story of Cain and Abel. And the fact is, Cain and Abel, both of them came before God with an offering. Abel brought an offering of the animals and brought the fat thereof. He brought the best that he had. Cain brought an offering. He didn't bring the best that he had. He didn't bring what God prescribed. And so God accepted Abel's offering, but he did not accept Cain's offering. Well, keep in mind, again, Cain was upset. He wasn't happy. But now remember, if we follow the Word of God, God will accept us. He will accept us. But it's important that we're reading the Word of God to apply it. Well, of course, Cain ended up killing his brother Abel. Out of jealousy, killed his own brother. And then when God approaches Cain, notice what happens. He comes to Cain, and he asks him, where is your brother? And remember this, Cain has just murdered his brother. But remember how he responds to God? He says to God, am I my brother's keeper? Now remember, he's just murdered his brother, and then gets smart with God. Now remember this, when God asks a question, it's never because God lacks information. God asks questions to help us out. He asks questions to help us better understand. He says, where's your brother Abel? And remember Cain's response, am I my brother's keeper? Well, the reality is, it's almost like God spent the rest of the Bible answering Cain's question. Yes, 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 you're your brother's keeper. In fact, God says that we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. We're to love people faithfully and zealously with great passion. We're to passionately love people because God passionately loves people. People are precious to God. But you know, if you don't read and meditate on the Word of God, you can forget that, or that can become an insignificant message to you. God wants you to know our life is to be full of ways whereby we love people and bless them, because that's what God calls us to. That's why as we follow the Word of God, we won't be selfish and self-centered and all caught up in ourselves. We'll be doing things like pointing people to the Word of God, sharing the gospel. We'll have a lifestyle of sharing the gospel and discipling other people too. If you're not discipling someone, if you're a believer and you're not discipling anybody right now, you're in disobedience. Ask yourself the question, am I discipling anyone? So our time is almost gone, but let's try to deal with some questions. Let's see if we can scroll down here. We can try to get some of the questions before our time comes to an end. But keep in mind, as believers, each of us, we're supposed to be believers that are hearing the Word of God and applying it each and every day. So we need to be hearers and doers of God's Word. So let's see. One of the questions is, how do you make sure you're integrating the Bible correctly in daily application? Well, you know, that's a good question. Great question. I appreciate the question. Again, how do you make sure you're integrating the Bible correctly for daily application? Well, of course, that comes from reading and studying the Word of God. Let's take, for example, the Ten Commandments. Well, again, they're a great foundational tool to help us know what's right and what's wrong, what honors God, what doesn't honor God. But also we're to study the Word of God and ask God for insight and understanding too. Because, again, applying the Word of God is so important to life. Remember, God's Word is the answer to all of life. So when you read it for what it says and try to study and ask God to give you insight and understanding. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. God is to be number one in our life. If God is number one, part of what that means is the things that God calls us to do, they're to be priorities in our lives. So spending time in prayer every day, that should be a priority because God calls us to be a people given to prayer. Reading the Word of God, that too is important. That's to be a priority because that's a part of loving God. If God is number one, we're going to make time to do the things that he tells us are important. Are you discipling other people? Now, keep in mind, this is a huge one. It's not hard to find people that say they love Jesus, but they're not sharing the gospel regularly, and they're not discipling anybody. Yet they say, but I love Jesus. Well, to keep in mind, the proof is in the pudding. What are you doing? Genuine love interprets in action. It interprets itself in action. If you genuinely love someone, then you're going to express it through your actions. We can tell God all day long we love him, but if we're not doing what he says, we are missing out. So the fact is, all of us need to do some serious soul searching and ask ourselves, do I really love God? Then am I doing what he says? Again, remember, sharing the gospel and discipling others is to be a high priority for the body of Christ. Yet it's not hard to find believers that aren't involved in sharing the gospel. They don't carry gospel tracts. I'm embarrassed. Oh, I don't. That's not me. I just don't do that kind of thing. Then you don't love Jesus. We're supposed to do what he says. Remember, if we love God, we will be his ambassadors in the world. Remember, if you make it a habit of reading God's word and really applying it, it'll bless your socks off. It'll make life full and rich and wonderful for you because the Spirit of God will be on the life of the obedient disciple. On the other hand, when you have believers that are empty and they're bored a lot and they don't know what to do and don't know their purpose, it's not God's fault. Remember, the Bible is your purpose. It tells you what to do. Simply obey it. Do what it says. We're called to be hearers and doers of God's word. I want to draw our time to an end with a story of a group of missionaries who went to a faraway land in the north, and I think it was Alaska many years ago. And they shared the gospel but had to leave and weren't able to come back for a long time. And when they finally came back, they were very concerned. Though they were able to leave a Bible with them, they were very concerned that no one was there to disciple the people, and they were concerned that they were even still following the faith. They came and found a vibrant church doing wonderful things, building the kingdom of God, and they wondered, well, how did you grow? They said, well, we just read the book and did what it said. That's what discipleship is. You read the book and do what it says. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity to be hearers and doers of your word. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of obedience, that we'll be a people that are faithful to hear your word, walk in its wisdom, and receive the blessing that comes. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening today. We've been looking at the topic of the empowering word of God. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.